Okay, so we welcome you back to the Airwaves. Our Radio Islam International has gone 9:38. Let's take a look at the questions that have come through. Mufti Saab, there's a question here that reads, this is where we start off today. We have a commercial development soon to be completed, inshallah, with the view of leasing out office suites. We have been approached by a finance company with the view of leasing some office space. Also, a non-Muslim wants to run a cafe, a restaurant, non-Muslim that may sell non-halal foods. What is the ruling?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the Noble Quran, Allah Rabbul Izzah says that وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْأُدْوَامِ. Assist one another in righteousness and piety and do not assist one another in transgression. So in leasing one's property to institutions, the question is, are you assisting in sin or not? There are differences of opinion amongst the fuqaha on this issue. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahumullah, according to him, leasing one's property to such institutions do not constitute assisting in sin. Whereas according to Imam Abu Hanifa's famous student, Imam Abu Yusuf, and the other one, Imam Muhammad, it does constitute a sin. So, the difference where in an Islamic country driven by Islamic values and economy, and then also we as Muslim minorities living in a non-Muslim country have our own great economic challenges. So our Akabir ulama have considered these challenges and have granted leeway for Muslim property owners to lease their properties to non-Muslims dealing in un-Islamic practices. There's different fatawa that have been given in this regard by Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Gangoya rahimahumullah, by Mulana Zafar Ahmad Uthmani rahimahumullah, by Mufti Kifayatullah, as well as Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri rahimahumullah. So considering all of that, the income will be attributed to the usufruct of the property and will be halal. The un-Islamic business practices will be attributed to the non-Muslim businessman and not the property owner. So this is the opinion of Imam Hanifa. It's more flexible, there's more leeway, it's awsa, and in this. Obviously, if it is a Muslim man doing haram things, the Muslim man running a bottle store and things like that, then it's different. But in a case where it's a non-Muslim, then this particular ruling will apply.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Can zakat funds be used for building of a masjid?
So, in terms of building of a masjid, no, it's not permissible to use zakat funds to build a masjid. If zakat funds is used to build a masjid, the zakat will not be done. As we know that zakat needs to go to a worthy recipient. And in this case, you don't have a worthy recipient. A person who is not wealthy, and a person who does not have the equivalent of the zakat amount in over and above his basic necessities. So the zakat will not be done in this case, and the zakat will have to be redone if it was used for building a masjid.
Okay, this is a long question, right, Mufti Saab? So let's try and go through it. My friend is doing a business as a sub-distributor of a new reputed plywood company. He takes plywood from an authorized distributor of same company and sells in shops. Company gives him full support, and also they ask him to introduce himself as the company staff, but actually he is not. This is to avoid the delay payment by the dealer, that is the shops, and also to attain the position in the market. Shops also asking him about whether he is direct staff or not. This is because of shops don't need to pay any extra charge offered by the distributor, but there are actually two distributors between the company and the dealer or the shops, both distributors taking an extra charge as their profit. So at the time of marketing, he could need to tell the lie that the product is directly from the company. Is it permissible for him to continue in this business?
At the outset, we are reminded of the fact that honesty and truthfulness is an integral part of a Muslim business dealings. The hadith of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, At-tajiru as-saduqu al-ameen ma'an-nabiyyin wa-siddiqin wa-shuhada. An honest and trustworthy businessman will be with the Anbiya, alayhi salatu wasalam. Well, the truthful ones and the martyrs. So in this case, it is understood that the authorized distributor is backing your friend in his initiative. However, the retailers and other individuals purchasing from him do not want two middlemen involved between them and the manufacturer, the plywood company. This will reduce their profit margin, and it's not permissible for your friend to conduct business in this manner. An alternative would be that your friend should hire his services of marketing to the plywood company or to the authorized distributor, and the company or the distributor should increase its profit markup in the products your friends, and keep your friend's markup in that. So thereafter, the authorized dealer can give him a share from the sales he carries out. In this way, you will retain the equal amount of profit you will be making, and you will not have to lie. So it's all about eliminating that lie. That lie will surely have a negative effect on his, on the barakah in the business.
Yeah, most certainly. All right, as Mufti Saab said, we've got to consider that actually lying is something that is very, very detested in the Sharia. Let's see this question, Mufti Saab. The person says, we are married for the past 10 years, trying to have a child through natural means, but by Allah's will, we do not have any children yet. We recently came across a fertility specialist, and after going through all the reports, the doctor advised us to go with the IVF procedure. Is the procedure allowed as per Sharia?
We make a dua that Allah grants you the courage to overcome the challenge relating to having a child. Allah says, Lillahi mulku samawati wal ard. To Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. Yakhluqu ma yasha. He creates what He wills. Yahabu liman yasha'u inatha wa yahabu liman yasha'u dhukur. He bestows females unto whom He wills. And He bestows males unto whom He wills. O yuzawijum dhukrana wa inatha, O He bestows both males and females. Wa yaj'alu may yasha'u aqima, innahu alimun qadir. And He renders barren whom He wills. Verily, He is the all-knower, and He is capable of doing all things. So that is what we need to keep in mind. If you've been advised by your doctor to consider the IVF, then there are certain advices that one should bear in mind. Only the sperm of your husband may be used. A surrogate mother may not be used. A husband must take the assistance from his wife in the removal of the sperm. A female fertility specialist should carry out the procedure. If you are forced to carry out the procedure with a male doctor, then it's important to keep all interactions as limited as possible. So in such a situation, if there's any violation of the Sharia at some point, make tawbah and istighfar and consider the points that we have shared with you, and it would be permissible.
Jazakallah for that very detailed answer, Mufti Saab. If a mu'tamir fastens his ihram and says the intention words of Umrah in his own language but forgets to read the talbiyah in Arabic, is his Umrah right, or does he have to pay a dam?
In order for the donning of the ihram to be valid, there are certain conditions that need to be met. An intention, whether verbal or non-verbal, to perform the action, that is the one part of it. The other is to recite the talbiyah, or any phrase indicating the praise of Almighty Allah, irrespective of whether this is in the Arabic language or another language. You say, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. So that is the second thing. In place of this, also to tie a chain or rope around a camel or a cow while traveling with it towards the haram. That is how it could be done. Now, if one crosses the miqat without fulfilling the intention and the talbiyah or making dhikr, then without fulfilling any of these two conditions, then it's necessary to give one dam. And a dam in this case is to slaughter one sheep, whether male or female, that has been alive for more than a year, and the sheep must be slaughtered in the haram.
Must be slaughtered in the haram. Jazakallah for that explanation. What is the proceedings for zakat on the commercial land bought with the intention of keeping it for a long time and build a commercial complex later to rent it out to get monthly rental income?
Yes, so in this case, there's no zakat on the commercial land because you don't intend to sell the land itself. You're intending to put up properties there which would then serve for rental income. The rent you receive will be added to your yearly savings and zakat will be given on that particular income from those properties when the property is erected and it's the property is tenanted and you receive rent, then you'll pay zakat on that rent. If it does meet the zakat amount with your rest of your zakat money, if that rental money is used up for any other thing and it doesn't accumulate to the nisab amount, then there will be no zakat on that.
Okay, is it permissible to sell weaves which are popularly known as Brazilian hair or Malaysian hair, etc.? According to my knowledge, they are processed in a certain way before being made ready for sale.
So artificial hair integrations, you know, known as hair extension or hair weaves, add length or fullness to human hair. Hair extensions are a method of lengthening one's hair by incorporating additional human or synthetic hair. There are many products that advertise on the market labeled as Brazilian hair or Malaysian hair. So what we need to consider here is that it's not permissible to take benefit from fellow humans' hair. That's one thing. The second thing is, if a person wants to use the hair extensions, you know, if it is done for some particular reason, the person lost hair because of COVID, etc., and wears the wig or these extensions in the place where there's only mahrams, then that would be allowed. But, you know, firstly, parading your hair needs to be covered together with the rest of your body for the lady. So that would not be allowed. And considering the fact that if it's human hair, that would also not be allowed.
Okay, is it permissible to supply goods, paper-related products like tel, credit card rolls, etc., to a hotel and casino chain?
Paper-related products such as, you know, tel rolls, credit card or machines, these things are neutral in its nature. And it is upon the person who buys it to use it for a particular reason. So when there's multiple uses for something, you're not bound by what the person is going to use it for. You can, if it can be used for various reasons, for permissible and impermissible, we will give you the benefit and say that, look, the onus is on them, how they use it. You selling it with a clear intention, not with the intention of supplying it for the impermissible use.
Okay, the next question, the person says, I know there's different interpretations regarding the lifting of the finger, etc. I'm Hanafi, and most Hanafis either close the three fingers and leave the index one free, and some lift the index and then keep them all free. What is the correct way?
Firstly, close the little finger and the ring finger. Secondly, the middle finger and the thumb should touch each other and make a circle shape. Thirdly, raise the index finger when saying La ilaha, when negating all divinities except Allah. And drop the index finger when saying Illallah, acknowledging that Allah is the only divinity. And one should place his index finger on top of the thumb and the middle finger. So having the palm laid flat and only raising the index finger, you know, or anything like that, that is not allowed. That is not the correct way. So as we've indicated, the description that we've given you, that is how it should be done. One should start the gesture at his hands at the time of the Shahada, and then one should follow from the, you know, as we indicated. So when you say La ilaha, you lift your hand, and you say Illallah, the finger, the index finger, and then when you say Illallah, you drop it. So that is what needs to be followed in this regard.
Okay, Jazakallah for that. Very important. That's a salam aslas. People sometimes don't understand it properly. It is important that we try and understand how to do every part of our salah as perfectly as possible. Can I make money by buying baby stuffs from one website and selling it on another online platform for a higher price? Is this money halal?
Buying items from one website and selling them for a higher price on another platform is permissible, on the condition that one takes physical or constructive possession of the item before one sells the item on another platform. It's not permissible to sell an item that is not in one's physical or constructive possession. Constructive possession refers to one having the ability to take possession of the purchased item, and there's no obstacle from the seller in doing so. So the criteria for constructive possession may be found in a different manner for each item and depends on the common practice at that time. So it's not just about, you know, you selling things you don't have, or you're selling it without taking possession. Yes, if you take in possession, you buy it from one place and sell it to the other place, there's no problem with that.
Okay, Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Now there's some other questions that have come through. Let's take a look at them. If a non-Muslim passes away, the person says, in my condolence message to the deceased family, can I mention the English meaning of Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un? That is, verily we belong to God and truly to Him shall we return, in the condolence message.
This is for a Muslim person. And therefore, you shouldn't use this type of condolence. You should rather use something more ambiguous, that my condolences are with you, the family, on this great loss. Because there's no doubt, from a human perspective, you know, you can empathize with a person on a human level.
Mm-hmm.
But don't bring religion into it in any way.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Salam, Mufti Saab. How does a person know that he is free from jealousy of a person? He does not wish harm for that person, but the heart holds a memory of some nasty incidents that occurred before.
Yeah, so that is human nature. The heart will hold on to certain things that occurred in the past. And therefore, in the verse of the Noble Quran, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي سُدُورٍ مِّنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرٍّ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. That when the people enter into Jannah, Allah says, at that point we will remove all that malice that was in the heart.
Mm.
So it's human nature to hold on to some malice. But what you should try to do is, you know, try to create moments which would be, you know, fun moments, happy interactions with that person. And in that way, it will overcome that. So give the person a gift. That person may give you a gift. Have a meal together. These types of interactions then becomes a means of normalizing a relationship if there's been some bad blood.
Okay, somebody is asking this question, that the person says, a friend is asking, he has a watch, the strap of which is coated with 22 karat gold. Is he allowed to wear it?
No, he cannot wear the strap. He cannot wear this watch. The watch, it's not permissible to wear a watch like this, because for men, they've been prohibited from gold. Nabi Salasim said, Hadani haramani ala dhukuri ummati. It is, Nabi Salasim held gold and silk. And he said that these two things are prohibited on the males of this ummah. So therefore, it is not, it's reprehensible for a man to use gold, whether it is for, you know, any sort of a ring or anything like that, or a watch. But for a lady, there's no problem with that.
Okay, let's take a look at this question. Till what length can a woman have her hair, and can a woman cut her hair in layers where she wears scarf always?
No, she cannot cut her hair in layers. That is considered to be a fashionable haircut. Mm. A woman is not supposed to cut her hair. Cutting hair for women, it is prohibited. If it reaches the waist and it becomes heavy on the head, and managing it, then from below the waist it may be trimmed. But beyond that, there's no scope for that.
The person asked, can I combine my chast salah and salat al-tasbih, make two niyats for four rakats, inshallah?
Yes, inshallah, you can do that. Buy one, get one free. yes, you can combine your intention. You're making four rakats, and with the intention of chast and tasbih, it's fine to keep those two together in one. You can also, you know, sometimes make your chast and your tasbih, your chast and ishraq at a time that it'd be, you know, would accommodate both. So if you make two rakats, ishraq at around 9, and you also make your chast at the same time, so that is also fine.
Okay, Mustafa, let's take a look at this next question. Is the following method of pricing an item allowed or is it deception? A shopkeeper has goods. On the goods, he marks it in the following ways in code form. The cost price excluding VAT, then a price worth VAT, then a preferred selling price. Then in numbers, he marks a much higher price. So when clients see the pricing, it seems high, but then the shopkeeper says he'll give it at a cheaper price and then quotes the coded selling price. This is to prevent too much of loss when a client asks for discount.
No, it's fine. It's his trick. He's not deceiving the person. It's willing buyer, willing seller. All that is his, you know, what they call back-end knowledge, that what is the cost price, what is the price, including the VAT. So the person sees the thing, they have a choice to either purchase it or not to purchase it. If they choose to purchase it, it's willing buyer, willing seller, so it's fine.
Please ask Mufti Sapi, if a Muazzin can ask for money to fix his home in, like example, his home country, we're not going to say where, via one of the trustees. He's also paid a good salary and has no living expenses.
Yeah, so this is, you know, it's difficult to give a judgment in this regard to say, no, he's not supposed to ask, or we don't know what his condition, what is his expenses. He may be earning a good salary, but he may have some certain expenses that we don't know about. Maybe have a debt from his father or something that all his money is going into that. So therefore, it's at your liberty. If you want to help him, help him. If you don't want to help him, your choice.
Okay, Jazakallah Mufti Sahab, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance. That's where I think we will leave it for today. It was very, very, very informative. Both the discussions, the first one especially, the one on public speaking, there's so much that we learned there and that we have been learning already. Alhamdulillah, today was part six. Everybody has been really enjoying this. The podcasts are also available. You can go back there and listen to them. And obviously the questions and answers, we learn a lot from there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Mufti Sahab and Jazakallah to the listeners for listening into the program.